You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Acts chapter 2 this evening, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and go all the way to verse number 13. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our tongue wherein we were born? Parthenians, and Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylus, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them all speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine."
And let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I thank you that the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. I thank you that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And Lord, I thank you that your word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we approach your word tonight, I pray we would not do it complacently. I pray we would not do it flippantly. But I pray that we would recognize tonight that we are having the ability to have the very words of God that we can study, that we can apply, that we can live, and that we can put into practice. I pray that you would help us to receive what you have for us individually. I pray we would not think about how the next person needs this message or think about someone that's down the road, but I pray that we would do an examination of our own hearts. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak directly and powerfully to each of us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In the book of Acts, we have seen in Acts chapter 1, the disciples that were gathered in the upper room after Jesus ascended back into heaven. Now, keep in mind that Jesus came, the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own, meaning the Jews. The Bible says that there is the power in the gospel to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Now, we are seeing here in Acts chapter 2, we are seeing that there are a group of Jews. There are a group of disciples that have gathered in an upper room. The Holy Spirit of God has been promised. They were to wait and to tarry there in Jerusalem for the promise of the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, we see that there is a Jewish feast that is taking place in Jerusalem. It's called Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the Greek name for it, but this is the Feast of the Harvest. The Jews had really several feasts, but they had three main feasts that they were to travel back to Jerusalem for, that they were to observe. The first one was the Passover, and they partook of the Passover. They observed the Passover as a reminder of what God did in bringing them out of Egypt. Remember that? When that angel of the Lord passed over wherever the blood was applied, their lives were spared because of the blood. That was the Feast of Passover. They held it every year. The second feast here is Pentecost. It is the Feast of Harvest. The word Pentecost, it literally means the 50th. Because from Passover, there were 7 weeks. So you've got 7 weeks times 7 days in a week. This is not math class, but I think you can do this problem. 7 times 7 is 49. And so that very next day would be the 50th day. This was when they would celebrate the Feast of Harvest. And in the Greek, in the translation, it is the word Pentecost. And so what's so amazing about this is this was no accident. These disciples have the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them at Pentecost because this is a feast where the Jews are gathering from all over the world. Keep in mind that when the Jews went into Babylonian captivity, remember that, the time of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah and some of those Jews that were taken captive. Well, eventually the rest of the group was captive. And after the Babylonian captivity for 70 years, some of the Jews didn't go back. Some of them were content to stay where they were, in Babylon or in Assyria or other parts of the world. And so rather than come back to Jerusalem, they stayed scattered, but they would come back for this particular feast. The third feast was the Feast of Tabernacles, or the time when they would set up booths made out of branches. And that was a reminder to them of the time that God brought them through the wilderness. They didn't have houses to dwell in. They didn't have all the modern, I say modern conveniences. They certainly didn't have that, but they didn't even have the niceties of the day. But yet God took care of them. And so that was the third feast. But this feast is Pentecost. And at this time, we see the power of the Holy Spirit of God is poured out. Notice with me, if you will, in this passage. Verse number one, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." I want you to see, first of all, as we look at Acts chapter 2, as we're talking about the day of Pentecost, we see the feast. We've seen the explanation. This was a special day. This was a special time that the Jews were coming together, and they would come to Jerusalem from all over the area, from other countries. As a matter of fact, some of them no longer spoke the language of the Hebrews. Some of them no longer spoke the language of the Jews of that day. So they came together for this feast. And the Bible says, number one, we see the feast, but secondly, we see their faith. The disciples were with one accord. Now, I want to tell you, before we can have the power of the Holy Spirit, God's people are going to have to be in one accord. We're going to have to be on the same page. God is not the author of confusion. God is not pleased when his people fight, when his people are angry, and when they're mad, and when they're critical. God is not pleased with that. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. And we see that they were all in one accord. They had faith. They were where they were supposed to be. They were obedient. God told them, Christ told them to wait, and they waited. God told them what to wait for, and they waited. They were depending on God. The word accord, it means one purpose, one mind. It means to be unanimous, to be in unison. The word accord is also a musical term. It is amazing how that if you've ever heard an orchestra, if you've ever gone to hear an orchestra perform, there are all kinds of instruments. The instruments that sound different. And they're sometimes playing at different times, and they're playing different notes. But collectively, they all are played together to sound absolutely beautiful. How does that happen? How does everybody stay on the same page? How does everybody stay together? How does everybody play a different instrument at different times and different notes? But how does it all sound like one beautiful masterpiece? Because they all follow the same conductor. Can I tell you, we have a conductor, and it's not the pastor, in case you're wondering. And it's not the Sunday school teacher. And it's not the deacons. And it's not the staff. And it's not the teachers. The conductor of the local church is none other than the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides and directs. How do you stay together with an orchestra? You follow the conductor and you follow the music. You follow the notes. You follow the plan. And everybody's got to have the same music. Can you imagine an orchestra? Imagine what a terrible prank that would be, to give everybody a different song. Choir members, don't get any ideas. Don't sneak in the choir room someday and say, oh, this will be fun. We'll give everybody a different song. And then we'll give Miss Cheryl a different song. We'll give her different music. Oh, this will be great. No, it would be awful. But as God's people, we are to be in one accord. It requires faith. It requires faith in God. It requires trust in God. We see that we must have unity, but we cannot have unity without doctrine. We cannot have unity without truth. That would be like saying, this side over here in our orchestra, these are the trumpets, and these are the flutes, and these are the clarinets, and these are the saxophones, and these are the violins. And we've got all these different instruments, and we're all gonna sound really good. But everybody wants to play their own song. Nobody wants to follow the conductor. Nobody wants to do what is required for there to be unity. Can I tell you, it won't work. And if God's work is gonna go forward, it's gonna require unity. It's gonna require God's people being in one accord with the truth of the Word of God. I see, number one, the explanation of the feast. Secondly, I see the faith that these people had. They were in one accord. But thirdly, I see they were faithful. The Bible says that they were in one accord in one place. Now, where was that place? It was the upper room. It was where Christ told them to wait. It was where Christ told them to tarry until the Holy Spirit of God came down. And friend, I want to tell you, we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come down because the Holy Spirit's already come down. We're not waiting for the filling of the Holy Spirit because the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. But we must still be in one place. We must be in the place that God has commanded us to be. And where is that place? It's not the ball field. It's not the shopping mall. It's not the amusement park. It's not the recreation field. It is the local church where God has called us to be. Now, we're not here 24/7, but I think we ought to be here when the doors are open. I think we ought to be faithful. I believe we need the church. I believe we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And by the way, the longer we live, the busier it gets. And the more tempting it is, I'm sure, to say, well, I can stay home. I can watch the service online. I can watch it later. I can catch it later. And those are wonderful tools for people that cannot be in church. But those are terrible substitutes for people that can be and should be in the house of God. This is God's plan for us to be faithful. Number one, I see the feast. Number two, the faith. Thirdly, I see the faithfulness of these people. They were in one place where God had told them to be. But fourthly, I see the filling. It says in verse number two, and suddenly there came a, what does that say? A sound from heaven. Now this is so good. You see, before they saw the fire, they heard the sound. And that's exactly the way God operates. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Before you and I are going to experience the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there must first be an ear that is listening. There must be an ear that is tuned in to the Word of God. There must be an ear that says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There must be an ear that says, I'm listening for that still, small voice of God to speak. We live in such a noisy world. We live in such a loud society. But as God's people, you got to get away. You've got to turn down the noise, and you've got to turn off the commotion and the distraction. God's got something for you tonight. God's going to have something for you tomorrow night. God's going to have something for you Tuesday night. God's going to have something for you tomorrow morning. You say, I didn't know we were having church tomorrow morning. We're not, but you can get alone with God tomorrow morning. You can open the Word of God and let God speak to you, and we must be listening. They heard the sound, the Bible says, of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. As we see the power of the Holy Spirit illustrated, first of all, the Holy Spirit is likened to the power of the wind. Think about the power in a tornado. Think about the power in a hurricane. Think about the power in a straight wind. It's amazing the power that the wind produces and the power that is there in that wind. Can I tell you? You can't see the wind. I can't see the wind, but we certainly can see the effects. You and I can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. We can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. We need the power. John 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in the wind. But secondly, we see the power of the Holy Spirit in the fire. The fire here is described as cloven tongues, like as of fire. Now I want to tell you, I think I'd be a little nervous. I think if I'm sitting in that upper room, and all of a sudden, first of all, you hear this rushing mighty wind coming through the room. It fills the room. And then you see these cloven tongues of fire that are descending upon the people that are gathered in there. The tongue is a part of the body. A tongue is also a known language. The Bible says that in heaven there will be every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation that will sing and praise God. The tongue is used to speak. Why did the Holy Spirit come in the form of a tongue? Because you and I, we have a message that we need to deliver. We've got a word that we need to share. We've got something that we need to say. And an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The very next verse says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart as to the Lord. A spirit-filled person is going to open their mouth. A spirit-filled person is going to share the message of the gospel. A spirit-filled person is going to sing the songs of Zion. A spirit-filled person is going to have a message on the inside that can't stay on the inside. It's got to come out. And the tongue, the cloven tongues of fire come down. And notice with me, if you will, in verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now that word utterance, I want you to note that word. Some people don't have a problem with utterance. Sometimes we have a problem of keeping it shut, right? Sometimes we say something and we say, whoops, shouldn't have said that. And then other times we should say something and we don't. That's what utterance is. It's when we should say something and we don't say it. You know what we need? We need utterance. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the boldness of the Holy Spirit to tell somebody how they can be saved. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to stand up for what is right. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to not stay quiet when it's not time to be quiet. When we've got a message to share, we need the utterance. We need the boldness. We need the power. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I see number 4. I see the filling. Not only did the sound fill the house, but the Holy Ghost filled the house. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You have all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get the day you got saved. But the Holy Spirit needs to have all of you. And the Holy Spirit needs to have all of me. And we must be yielded and controlled by the Holy Spirit. I like that word filling. When I get a drink, whether it's coffee, that's a good thing, or soda. Brother Dan says Coke's better than Pepsi, so you get a Coke and you get that cup. Now, you can fill up your own cups now, right? You know, you can go up and you can fill up your own drink. But have you ever gone through a drive-thru? And have you ever ordered a drink and they give you the drink and it's half full? You say, that's not what I paid for, right? That's not what I ordered. My wife sent me a picture. I won't tell you where it was from because this was very unusual for this particular place. My wife a week or two ago went through a place. I almost said where she went through, but she went through a place. See, I don't need utterance right now. I need to zip is what I need to do. But she went through a place, she ordered fries, and they gave her the fries. And the fries, literally, you could see the cart, and you could see the container, and you couldn't see any fries. You had to look down in the container to actually, oh yeah, good, there are a few little fries in there. That's wonderful. Well, can I tell you, when I go to get a drink, I don't want the drink almost empty. When I go to get the French fries, I don't want the French fry container almost empty. I want it filled. And when God looks at our lives, he doesn't want us half empty. He doesn't want us almost empty. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's because we are so filled with ourselves. It's because we're so filled with our own ideas. We're so filled with our own dreams, our own goals, that sometimes we don't even have room for the Holy Spirit of God to fill us like he desires. Quickly, number five, I see the fire. The fire is a powerful, powerful thing, just like the wind. Think about the power of a forest fire. Think about the power of a volcano. I think about just the other night, we had a bonfire at our house. Our girls had been picking up pine cones and branches and all that, and that pile got so high, it was time to burn. Can I tell you, it's amazing how just that little match, just that little bit of fire, it's amazing how it spreads. It's amazing the heat that it produces. It's amazing the power that it has. Can I tell you, we don't need more of us, but we need more of the Holy Spirit. We don't need more of our abilities, but we need more of the power of God. And can I tell you, when the power of God is turned loose and when the power of the Holy Spirit is turned loose, there is no limit to what God can accomplish in his power working through us. There must be a fire. There must be a burning. Jeremiah said God's word was in his heart like a fire that was shut up in his bones. May God give us that fire. May God give us that power. But then I see quickly number six. I see the focus. It's amazing to me. We talked about it this morning. The focus of that incorruptible crown and the purpose of that incorruptible crown is for the purpose of people being saved. Same purpose here. Notice with me. In verse number 5, it says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded." They were confused. "Because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Now, I'm going to step out on a limb tonight, and I'm going to guess here at Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, we do not have an overabundance of bilingual individuals. Now, I know Miss Natalie is in the Pastor's Pals. I know she's fluent in Spanish. How many others in this auditorium, how many of you can speak multiple languages? Let me see your hand. Okay, I don't see any hands. Oh, well, Miss Grace, I saw that. How many of you are like me? You're still working on English. You're still working on one language, all right? Okay. Can you imagine if we loaded up a couple buses and we went up to New York City and we went to Times Square and we started preaching in Times Square from Roanoke Rapids? Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Who said that? Brother Watts, did you say that? All right, if you don't like this comment, you can blame it on Brother Watts. He told me to go ahead. He gave me utterance here, which I maybe shouldn't say. But if we went to New York City, I'm not sure anybody is going to look at our group and think, "Wow, those are intellectual. Those are well-trained. Those are scholarly people. Those are people that speak many languages. Those are people with multiple degrees hanging on there." I'm just thinking, Roanoke Rapids, that's probably not what we're known for speaking many languages fluently. But could you imagine if we went to New York and we got a spot and we just started preaching the gospel and people are walking by from China and they hear the gospel in Chinese? And people are walking by from Japan and they hear it in Japanese, and people from Russia, they hear it in their language, and people from South America and people from Europe, and they're hearing the gospel and they're looking at us saying, "Them? How'd they know know all these languages? How did they learn all of this? Well, the Bible says in verse number 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I mean, again, folks, these were not highly educated. These were not people that were known for their ability to speak a lot of languages, but here they are. They're preaching the gospel, and everybody is hearing the gospel in their own language. That's a miracle. But here's the focus. The focus is they're preaching the gospel. Verse number 8, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. You know what the focus was? The focus was not on, look at us. Look how smart we are. Look at how we can speak in all these languages. Aren't you impressed? The focus was not on the messenger. The focus was on the message. The focus was on the gospel. The focus was on people being saved. As a matter of fact, we'll see this in a few weeks. But on this day of Pentecost, you know how many people got saved? A lot. Try 3,000 that were saved and baptized and added to the church because some simple people that didn't have a lot of education, but they had the power of the Holy Spirit. And some people that just had some boldness and they had some utterance and they had the fire of the Holy Spirit that fell and it transformed them and it changed them and God used them to see people saved. Ephesians 6:19, the Bible says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If you're here this evening, you say, Pastor, I'm a little discouraged because I don't know multiple languages. Well, I got news for you. You don't need another language. You just need to use the one you know. You say, I feel like I wish I had another tongue. I feel like I wish I had the ability to speak better than I can speak. Well, friend, I got news for you. You don't need another tongue. You just need to use the one you have for the glory of God. You just need to use that tongue and use that message and use what God has done in your heart and the power of the Holy Spirit working in you to have boldness to preach the gospel. Verse number 11, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Verse 13, this is hilarious. Because people will always criticize. And people will always try to tear down the work of God. You mark it down. God starts doing a great work. That old devil's going to stick his ugly head up. His ugly head too, but he's going to stick up his ugly head. And he's going to stick up his ugly head. And he's going to try to tear down what God is doing. Mark it down. So here's what they did. They started mocking. Who in the world are those people? What do they think they're doing? Those guys are a bunch of drunks. Can I tell you, it couldn't be further from the truth. They were not drunk with wine. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you and I do a work in the power of the Holy Spirit, people won't be able to explain it. You can't figure it out with a pen and paper. You can't say, we're going to take the credit for what has happened at Victory Baptist Church, or we're going to take the credit for what has happened at Victory Christian Academy, or we're going to take the credit for what God is doing on the mission fields of all these missionaries. You and I can't take the credit for that. It's so much bigger than us. Only God gets the glory for what he has done. But how do you respond? How do I respond when people attack? How do you respond when people criticize? How do you respond when people point the finger and try to tear you down as you're serving God? I love this in verse 14. But Peter, remember the guy that used to always put his foot in his mouth? Oh man, he's got something good to say. You better listen. He stands up with the 11. He lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We'll get into this next Sunday night, but suffice it to say for now that when the critics came and the skeptics came and the mockers came, Peter didn't stand up and try to defend himself. Peter stood up and said, let me tell you the facts. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Let me tell you what God has to say. And you know, our mission at Victory Baptist Church, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Our mission is not a political mission. Our mission is not a social mission. Our mission is not just to make Roanoke Rapids a nicer place. Our mission is a biblical mission. Our mission is to preach the Word of God, because this book has the answers to every problem that every person will ever face. And you don't have to worry about the attacks, and you don't have to worry about the critics, and you don't have to worry about the people that like to mock and point the finger. You just keep on keeping on. You just keep on loving God. You stay in His Word. You stay with the facts of the Word of God. And you and I will be just fine as we fulfill the work that God has given us to do.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.